If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun, he sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
And this is the Chicago Way with John Cass, Jeff Carlin, and our special friend in our neighborhood today, Scott Stanis, editorial cartoonist par excellence for the Chicago Tribune. Hello, Scott.
Hello, John.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Do we have all that AM, like, energy, sound?
The AM
can we
gusto.
Get rid of it now? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
drop.
How are you?
It's a happy, happy monster sound. John Cass. Bing, 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 bing.
Exactly. All right, so on the way to work today... I drive through the city, always skip the expressways. I like to drive through the city early in the morning when it's safe. And so I come through the west side. I see the guy, the big, tall guy who's a former boxer with the iron rebar walking on Costner, and he's always swinging, like punching with the iron rebar. I see the paper-selling guy. I see kids slinging on the corner already, over on 14th Street, and make it to the Tribune Tower. In the parking lot, there are trucks all over the place, movie trucks, because they're filming another cop show, whatever it is, like those fake cop
shows.
Aren't
they running out of stuff about Chicago? We have Chicago Fire, we have Chicago Blue, we have Chicago...
But they're all the same. They're like...
Chicago Transportation.
PG dramas about families and institutions. And they're really...
She was a CTA driver with a secret.
I don't watch them. You guys watch those?
No,
guys?
There's a great parody of all of them called Chicago Streets and Sand.
Yeah.
And it's just a bunch of this, as you can imagine, it's connected folks. Hey, what are we going to do on a break? Yo, what do you want to do? What are we going to go take a
go get a pizza, sandwich.
Get a sandwich? What do you want to do?
Go to Bari, get a sandwich.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's my favorite of all of them.
The deli or the parody?
No, the parody.
So anyway, speaking of television shows about cops that I don't watch, I binge watched one called The Wire. You ever watch The Wire?
One of the best shows ever made.
I thought it was stupid when I first heard about it because a lot of reporters liked it. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, you losers, I don't like shows about cops and reporters because they're always stupid and they always have some guy making the big speech, kind of like what I'm doing right now, making a big stupid speech. But I watched the first episode of The Wire and 24 hours later, I was still watching. And the other day... Well, because The Wire has such great characters. My favorite, the corrupt copper, the drunk, the lying reporter. Also, one of my favorites is Omar, the violent, gay guy who robs drug dealers and is the only one in the show that really has a sense of morality. Some of his great quotes are, "All in the game, yo." It's all in the game. And the other day, as Rahm Emanuel selected his new police chief, Eddie Johnson, going around the police board to do it, I thought, Jeff, this is The Wire. I am watching The Wire on TV, and Rahm Emanuel, Nine Fingers?
Nine Fingers.
Was really
Nine and a half.
Was really like Baelish.
Yeah, Baelish.
Baelish the pimp in Game of Thrones was the mayor of Baltimore in The Wire,
yep,
who becomes the governor, kind of like O'Malley-ish. And I thought, guys, what is not what happens in Chicago? I say it's not a TV show. And I kind of mock people who think that way. But I have to mock myself now because it was just right out of The Wire, eh, Jeff?
So what do you think Chicago is more like, The Wire or... The Chicago Way.
It is like the Chicago Way Wire kind of synergy thing.
Or what about that CNN show in Chicago? What do you think? Is it more like that?
Scott is just about to puke right now.
The infomercial for Rom?
Yes, exactly.
Scott, you don't
He's a dynamic mayor of a large city, a little man in charge of a big town.
Did you ever notice? Now, I know the writer who narrated that, and it sounded like they were trying to get me to narrate it, but I, of course I would never do it.
Right.
He never backs down. You know, really? Yeah. He's a great writer, Mark Conkle. He writes an excellent column at DNA Info, and I haven't talked to him about doing that he did that
right.
series. I would assume he regrets it, but either way, he's a good writer.
He sure is.
But, you know. Pulitzer Prize winner,
yeah.
Not like me.
Unlike, or me.
You know, neither of us will win the Pulitzer
Prize. No, ever.
I don't think so.
Why?
You're too edgy.
Is it?
Too edgy. Blair Kamen has one because he writes the very eloquent and the very intellectual. And
he's
you're
an
like
intellectual.
And you guys write the very nitty-gritty stuff. Obviously, Scott, you're not writing or drawing, but the nitty-gritty stuff that's real.
Word pictures. Exactly. Like the one Scott had the other day. A very subversive one, Scott, where he did a Easter basket with eggs and peeps in it. And in the eggs and peeps, there was something else. Very subversive, Scott.
Yes, says. It was actually a crucifix, meaning that maybe the holiday's about Jesus Christ versus, you know, bunnies and peeps and eggs. I've actually been fighting this fight for 10 years now. I have a war on the secularization of Easter. I mean, Christmas is already, you know, they've taken the Christ out of Christmas. But Easter... I mean, that is a religious holiday, period.
Well, actually, Pascha is a religious holiday. Easter is an English, old English word where the old pagan rites of the Saxons and the Celts are somehow mixed in with the new God that we know as Jesus Christ, our Savior. So... I'm troubled by the fact that
two people,
that only two people in the whole news business of Chicago, me and Scott Stannis, dared mention that Christ was the reason for Easter. But I don't want to get into the whole,
We did it last week.
We did it last week. All right. So what do you guys want to talk about?
Well, I think since we're on the topic of The Wire, I mean, what do you think about Rahm Emanuel putting out together a task force to decide the next superintendent and saying, you know what? No, I'm going to do it again. Just choose my guy this time.
You know, like as Omar says, you come at the king, you best not miss. Okay? And Rahm Emanuel is playing this really interesting game. He is wounded from the Laquan McDonald problem. Mm. He blew his own feet off politically. And now he's trying to recover. And I think this might be a good move.
I think it's a great move. I got to be honest with you. I mean, just purely from a political standpoint,
yeah.
It's a good choice. It pays homage to the rank and file who like this guy, apparently.
He's one of theirs.
Yeah, he's one of theirs. So rather, I think the message you would have sent if he had hired someone from out of the area is that I don't trust you guys. We don't have the tools or the wherewithal to manage our own problems. And I think this does that.
And this new superintendent did say, I quoted it, that... He's never applied for a job in his life, never applied for promotion. In my 27 years in the police department, I've just done what they've told me and gone where they've sent me. What does that tell you?
He's a hard worker.
Yeah.
What
he's
else?
Not, lacks ambition, doesn't have political designs.
Yeah.
Wrong. right now, you guys are so wrong. What it tells me is that this guy is so wired up politically that he understands how things work. You do not apply to be the commander of a district. You don't apply to be chief of detectives. Yeah, they have a posting. It's like, let's post, yes, we're looking for a columnist, or we're looking for an editorial cartoonist, or we're looking for a producer. Yes, we posted the job, but they know who they want, right? That's a legal thing, posting. Mm-hmm. And he knows how Chicago works. You don't apply because it's already wired.
I'm sure
get
you're
it?
Right. I'm
boom,
sure,
boom.
Yeah, there we go. A full circle. I'm sure you're right, John. But I mean, I'm the same way. I mean, he's 27 years in the force, and now he's the guy.
Right.
I'm the same way though. I never want to go out and apply for a promotion or like push it. Do my job, do it well, and I figure, hey, if I stand out, you know, I'll get recommended for things. And it's worked for me. I mean,
you are the best radio producer in Chicago,
that's
bar
very,
none.
Very
you work for. You do the Rokan and Ann Devolani show in the afternoon on WGN.
Ding.
Yeah, but you do. You put all those guests together. You do all this stuff, and you've got good pipes, boy.
Thanks, John.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's
kind of sexy, kind of like kind of like a Westphalian Barry White type of thing going on.
That's me.
There you go.
I think it's interesting though. Aside from my pipes, the whole thing with Johnson thing. You know, he said he didn't apply because Escalante promoted him, and he felt that, well, if anybody should get this job, it should be Escalante. And Escalante didn't apply, and clearly he didn't apply. So now he's like, well, you know, sure, I'm the guy. Okay, go for it. And Rom picks him. But I think the biggest point is what Scott made, was that he is the guy that the rank and file really think should have been the guy.
They wanted a local guy. You know why? The same reason that politicians wanted a local guy. Because when we say, in sort of a pejorative way, Chicago, we don't want nobody sent. Mm-hmm. All right, it's good politics to have somebody you know. Because the police department is, let's say, how many thousands of cops plus their families and friends, right?
12,000.
So it's a living political organism. It's not just, let's round up the bad guys. It's a living political organism that this fellow Johnson understands how it works because he doesn't apply for anything. He knows how to work it, you know, he knows how to work the system. That's not wrong. That's sort of like that's a lot better, I think, than bringing in a guy from Atlanta who likes to be on CNN.
Spokane.
The Atlanta guy likes to be on CNN, right? He likes to, you know, he's on CNN all the time. I don't think Rom wants that. I don't think the Black Caucus want it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. No, Scott's giving me a blank look. Like, what am I doing on this podcast?
Where do we go with that? No, yeah. He had the authority, appointed the guy. It is kind of weird that he just sort of ignored the recommendations, and told his police board to take a walk. And,
Speaking of walks, the teachers are walking.
Oh Lord!
Jeez.
Oh, right.
Yep.
Who's responsible? Let's see. There's no money. They have the pension's underfunded. There's no money to pay the teachers. They want more money, right? And they don't want to put money into their pension as much as they should be. So they don't want to do it. Let's see. Whose fault is this? Is it the Republicans' fault? Is it conservatives, like the last two in the building, or three, me and Scott?
Well, two and a half.
Two and a half. Is it, is it the Tea Party fault? Whose fault is it that there's no money, the pensions are destroyed, that the kids are going to be walking, the teachers walk off, and children will be loose on the streets on a warm day during the week, which, if any of them are shot, it's Karen Lewis's fault. So whose fault is it?
Well, and
I think it's called the Democratic Party.
Yes. Let's go and talk about the bonds, which are now below junk level. What did they just recently borrow $770 million and had to pay on those bonds 8.5%? I wish I could have gotten in on that.
Which is only 2% more than they promised on the pensions the deal they made 10 years ago, which at 6% on your pension return is insane.
So why don't we just make another park for the dailies, okay, and smooch up their butts a little bit? Because, that's what we need, more daily parks.
But that park is returning dividends, John, in hearts and minds.
Right, I like the ribbon.
Did you take
your dog
for a walk there?
Yeah.
Or do you have to attach a little like City of Chicago blue bag to its butt?
Probably.
You have to pick up the poop, but it's the skate ribbon is lovely.
I haven't done it yet, but I'd like to. But hearts and minds, John. Hearts and minds. Mm-hmm. Isn't that important?
What would a Patrick Daly Park look like? Like in the shape of a sewer cap?
It would be like the footprint of the Olympics, right? where all that police money was invested, right?
Yeah.
Police pension money. Woo! I'm just saying.
How would Omar deal with the school problem?
Boy, you got me confused with someone who repeats himself. I love that Omar. I love Omar. Have you seen him in anything since that?
No.
What a great cast, you know? Scott, you got to binge. Do you ever binge
watch? Oh, yeah. No, we just finished House of Cards.
Oh, okay. I don't watch that one.
Oh, John, you should.
It's
why? Because I got to see politicians who are lying weasels?
Right, but you'd like it because it is so authentic in that regard, and it's crazy. So if Kevin Spacey, if you for whatever reason don't know House of Cards, Kevin Spacey plays a...
I saw the first one, and that's why I stopped.
First
you know
one,
why?
First one
no,
was,
why?
Not, was not the best of what they
he
did.
He kills the dog.
I know.
I can't
it's
take
the first
it.
Season. Christine's the same way. She.
If you kill the dog,
yeah,
I'm done with
I know,
you.
And she's the
why?
Same way, but you
wait, you can watch
it.
People being killed, but you can't watch a dog being
killed? I can watch
being
people
killed?
Being killed all the time. But if I watch a dog being killed fictionally, I have
way.
A breakdown.
It was tough. Wow. So we moved past. In fact, funny thing, we canceled our Netflix and restarted it just for this. And we hit play again. And I went right back to the first episode. And that first scene popped up. And we're like, ah!
Oh, yeah.
But
after he kills the dog, he likes ribs,
he
which
does
I
like.
Ribs, yeah. I like. And... he's a Democrat, which I don't like. He likes whiskey. And his wife is kind of like this, I don't know, can I say it? An ice queen?
Oh, yes. No, good.
Yes.
She's...
Like Tilda Swinton in Chronicles of Narnia? Like that?
I haven't seen Chronicles of Narnia, but I will.
You haven't seen Chronicles of Narnia?
No, I haven't.
Well, how are you going to recognize when Hillary Clinton offers you a box of Lucums?
I won't.
How would you know?
I wouldn't take anything she offered. No offense to anyone in the Clinton family, but...
yeah, it's Robin Wright. She does a
yeah,
great
she's
job.
She's amazing.
Great
but
job.
But, John, you would love it because Spacey's character is so well written.
Like Kaiser Sose, huh?
And he's a he's a political genius. I mean, obviously it's written and he's not a real character. He's not a person. But the things he says and the things he does where he gets ahead of things, he spins things. If you love the whole political arena... he is, it's a master's class just to watch, and you're like, holy crap, how do you think of that? Obviously, it's written, you know it's not real.
So it's kind of like Madigan and Rahm's mind together.
Yeah, but on steroids. Like, he would run circles around them.
Or Obama.
Oh, absolutely.
The Tango, the President Tango.
It's President Tango.
Okay, so you watch House of Cards?
Yeah, I just finished this season. Yeah.
So you're up on it.
Yes.
I'm only three episodes in this season, but John...
all right, so you're both watching. You like
that. Yeah, it's fiction. I mean, and it's fiction in the sense that if you've ever covered politics, if you've ever covered politics.
I never did. Yeah.
The president of the United States apparently has a lot of time on his hands alone.
A lot of time alone
yes.
to watch sports, take tango lessons.
No, he doesn't.
No, that's the real president.
Yeah, that's the real president. That's not the...
Right.
Mm-hmm. This guy...
is there like a Valerie Jarrett that tells this guy what to do?
He has a very, very bad chief
Valerie
of staff.
Jarrett,
yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Another killer, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, did I spoil it?
Yeah, spoilers.
All right, don't listen to this part. Yeah. All right, I'll watch it.
The alleged killer.
I'll watch it if you watch Netflix.
Oh,
if
no.
If you watch
No, I will.
The Wire.
I've heard nothing but great things about The Wire.
Wire is easily considered one of the best
And they actually
shows.
Call The Baltimore Sun, which is, of course, a Tribune publication, The Baltimore Sun.
What is what are some of the good shows that are out now, besides, of course, Game of Thrones?
The Americans just started that.
Yeah, I love that. I remember how that started.
Yeah.
That started can't say. No. But it kind of started like Game of Thrones started with the same act.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Interesting.
Very
first episode.
Sexually charged.
Yeah.
Huh.
And explicit.
The Americans, you never saw it?
I haven't seen
it,
no.
All right.
John, I do three jobs.
Hey,
I
listen,
mean,
mister,
I don't have time.
Listen, what is this?
Am I
illiterate because I watch TV? What? I'm
no,
not like Scott. I can imagine Scott, like after he does his cartoon, he goes home to his lovely wife, Janine. They sit there and they have like something Florentine for dinner.
Usually
and
vegetarian.
Then he goes into his... she's a vegetarian?
No, but we're trying. She wants us to live forever.
She ate lamb pretty good when she was
at
my house.
Yeah. Yeah, she went at that like a lion
in
Sahara.
Oh, yeah, you guys
man,
coming
she...
over? You guys coming over for Easter? Because it's non-heretic
May
Easter?
May 1st, right?
Yeah.
Non-heretic. John, all I can say is your guys are welcome back anytime.
Yeah, come on, we'll do it. Anyway...
This is the first time I've heard of the invitation.
Pardon me?
Yeah, you didn't. This is the first I've heard. I'm invited again this year?
I just said it.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. You've been to my house.
I have.
Jeff, you didn't come. You were invited to my house.
I didn't know I was invited. When was I invited?
No, but didn't you come over? Didn't we do a dinner?
At
that other radio station
that
fired me?
Yeah, right. That might have been Matt Mellon.
Matt Mellon and Mallory. Oh, you had left me then. You had gone on to greener pastures.
This sounds like a... something to binge watch here. Wow.
I know, right?
I was fired. Then you left me.
Definitely, Scott, The Wire. John, you got to get into House of Cards.
And just remember what Omar says. I keeps one in the chamber in case you're pondering.
You are a moral, are you not? You are feeding off the violence and the despair of the drug trade. You're stealing from those who themselves are stealing the lifeblood from our city. You are a parasite who leeches off
just like you,
the culture
man.
Of drugs. Excuse me? What?
I got the shotgun. We got the briefcase. It's on the game, though, right?
If you walk through the garden, you better watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon for the stealing their sight. If you walk in Jesus, you'll save your soul. You gotta keep the devil down.
You know what? Every month, we give out the Mutza of the Month Award, the Golden Mutza of March. And I've got people calling me and emailing me, and they find me on Facebook where they're nominating their candidates. We've got many, including some guy who, like, broke into a lady's house and stole her purse or something. There's the DNA. Oh, how about the story about the condo that's studying dog poop? You heard about this one? The condo association is upset that there's certain dogs that are pooping, so they're going to take samples of those dog poops and try to match them with the dogs that may be the criminal.
They're going to DNA test it.
They're going to DNA. So that's a Mutza possibility. And then, of course, Hillary. Not Hillary per se, just because she's, the Benghazi thing, and she put our national secrets at risk because she didn't want to bother with the security. But the media itself and the media coverage of Hillary Clinton and how they haven't really, I don't think they've held her to the same kind of standard. I don't think I think she has a different standard. She has the feminist inoculation and she's protected. And I think that has to end, because you look at all these millennials support Bernie. All this stuff is falling apart. We should acknowledge it.
Sure.
What about those parents at the Easter egg hunt, though? And what about Adam LaRoche, for God's sake? You hit 207, and you make a big thing of the fact that your kid can't be in the locker room? Hit the baseball, loser! My God.
Why are you complaining? It's $13 million you guys have to spend on whatever you want.
I'm just saying, you hit 207. If you hit 333 good. With, like, 40 homers, bring, like, your whole family.
Good riddance. Yeah, well, exactly. But good riddance. Get rid of them. I think, John, those. I don't know if you're familiar with it, Scott. You see the Easter egg hunts?
No, the Easter egg hunt. This is new.
The Pez Easter egg hunt.
At the Easter egg hunt in the Pez Easter egg hunt in Connecticut,
mm-hmm.
They lined up all the parents and the children, and they acted like barbarians.
Yep.
They all just ran out on the field.
Oh, yes, I did see this.
They ruined the whole thing. But if you give people, Americans, if you line them up and say, free stuff.
Yeah.
Like free Obama phones, okay, that I'm paying for, John Cass and Scott Stannis and Jeff Carlin. People will line up and get that stuff, right?
Sure.
They'll run for it.
It's like Black Friday. I mean, didn't see this coming.
Well, did you see the Chinese tourists in Thailand at the buffet? It's kind of the same. It's ridiculous. Watch that video, my friends.
I'm scared to engage this.
No,
it's just worried that the sensitivity police will put
right. Yeah, no, it's exactly what it sounds like. It is the most heinous buffet
corping.
Horribleness of greed and avarice that you could watch. It's great.
The thing I don't like about buffets is I don't like that stupid smoked fish that they always put out there that doesn't taste good, and that other people are spearing it. Like, they spear it and scrape it away. Like, I don't want your, like, hand molecules anywhere near my food, you losers. Am I just the only person?
No, buffets generally are going to be food that's been out for a while. I like them for once in a while.
We did buffet for Easter.
We're going to do buffet for Easter too.
Yeah, and it was great. It was very good.
Yeah, what am I saying? When I cut the lamb,
yeah,
you know, people come over. Scott even took pictures of this. Cut the lamb, and we're all digging our hands in there, putting salt.
Oh, it was a piece of heaven right there,
right,
buddy.
Right there, just a caveman.
I'm
anyway,
looking forward to it.
So what else got you? Emily Rose, Easter egg hunt.
There's a better Mutza candidate out there.
Yeah, let's hear about it.
San Francisco State University student.
Yeah.
I believe is your lead or should be your front runner here.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
For those who haven't seen the internet aflutter with this, John Cass brought it to our attention.
Oh, that's right. I was faking like this was a radio thing where I pretend I don't know
yeah,
what it is.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
It's good of you. But it's a great story. It's essentially it's this white surfer kind of dude at San Francisco State University with ratty looking dreadlocks. And he's stopped.
I would venture that he knows what a bong looks like.
I would say that's a good guess. It is California.
So he's on campus.
Yep.
White guy, dreadlocks, skinny little guy.
Mm-hmm. And he's accosted by a black woman who says that his dreadlocks, how dare he wear dreadlocks? That's her culture. That's her culture. He's, what do we decide on? Appropriating.
Cultural appropriation.
Wait a second. I need a safe place from people. I used to have a Greek fro when I was a kid.
Wow.
You know, in the 70s, my brother, Pete, he had, like, the total Ted Nugent thing going on. He had this, like, big Greek fro, right? You know? That was a 70s thing.
Well,
right?
Was that a cultural thing?
Well, this is becoming a thing on college campuses. We've had our interns and so on bring it up. And seriously, I mean, not like this is some kind of joke. But let's say I want to wear kente. The cloth, right, which is African of nature.
But worn by black doctors from Chicago when they go on vacation to Nigeria. But
right, I actually kind of like it. I think it's pretty. Nice. I mean, here's the thing. Cultures take from each other all the time. I mean,
So you have to, a white guy can't have dreadlocks in San Francisco? Where's the outrage from? Is she going to be humiliated, investigated, shamed by the left? Or is she of the left, and therefore, you know, the white guy has to
What is her name? Was Tillman? Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, something like that.
Do you have it?
I have the video. We can play some of the roll of tape around the video.
Let's hear.
You're saying that I can't have a hairstyle because of your culture? Why?
Because it's my culture. You know
what it was in Egyptian culture? Are you Egyptian?
No, I'm not.
Are you Egyptian? No, but doesn't matter.
Wait, where's
Egypt? You know what, girl? Dude, girl, you have no right to tell me what I can
wear.
Huh?
Where's Egypt?
Yo, girl, stop touching me.
No, girl, stop touching me right now.
Get off of me.
Come back. You put your hands on me,
we'll learn. Like, you know, make some shit because of what the hair I have? That's no reason, yo. I don't need your disrespect. I don't need your disrespect.
Why are you filming this?
Everyone's safety.
And then she punches the camera.
Yeah, then she grabs the camera from the guy.
Right.
Wait a minute.
And the guy who was being accosted here says that he's not going to press charges because he doesn't.
Because he's such a wuss.
Well, but
he should press charges and force the university to stand up for free speech or free hair. But I have another issue here. Who says that dreadlocks are Egyptian? Where does he get that one?
Why not? Let's just say they're Mesopotamian.
You know that whole thing about Egyptians? You know that Egyptians were Greeks, okay? I just want to tell you. I have some Windex with me in case you have a skin disease. Which I saw that movie, and I loved it, okay? My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Have you seen the sequel, too?
Yeah, I loved it, okay?
The sequel?
I loved it.
It's supposed to be horrible.
Really? Well, you know what? Whoever says it's horrible gets a mutza from me.
Fair enough. Right. I loved the first movie. As a son of immigrants, a French, they're not Greek, but we all have those stories. You know, we all have those stories.
I like
it's a great film.
One to it. If people don't like it, nah. Okay, FISA.
Whoa.
So anyway, not you. Because
you don't know
you
where that hand's been.
So this guy, Egypt, okay. You know, Cleopatra, I have to say, maybe she'll attack me now, this woman. Cleopatra, you know, she's identified in some political attempts as a black woman. But Cleopatra was the granddaughter of Ptolemy. And Ptolemy was the companion of Alexander, which means he's Greek. So there you go. Okay? I'm just saying.
John, and you're absolutely right, but dreadlocks were an Egyptian thing. If you've seen, a lot of
Yes,
the...
I have. Walk like an Egyptian. I'm into the history. of course. I'm joking. But, yes, and why shouldn't he be able to wear that? Why can't I wear little wooden shoes if I wish? You know, and put my fingers into the dike. Why can't I do that? Can't we do, in this country, express ourselves however we wish?
Of course.
As long as we're not hurting anyone.
And cultures take from each other. We see things that are attractive, and so we adorn ourselves with it, and that's...
So what's with the militant multiculturalism where you have to stay in your lane?
Because it's fascism of the worst kind. It's thought police. You must do this. This is a way... This woman didn't do it because she was offended. She didn't do it for any good reason other than she could bully some weak, obviously lily-livered surfer dude. She didn't do it for any other reason than that she could
bully. White boy. Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
Okay?
I mean, that is the only motivation here for anything that is that stridently politically correct. It is just another layer to control, to harass, to get you into line and to think the way they think. And if you don't, you're off to the camps you go.
When will these kids ever stop? The re-education camps are terrible things. We used to have one in the Tribune, didn't we? Like in room 101, right? yeah, we used to have room. We have a room 101 at the Tribune.
The dailies are good. I love the dailies.
The city is so clean.
And a tear coursed down his cheek, and he thought to himself, I love the dailies. That was the end of
how many figures do I have? How many figures?
Yes, in the cage. I don't know what I was afraid of back then, probably.
These children will... Their minds are being sapped out of them, but at least one thing I know, Hillary Clinton doesn't have them. Who knows who's going to win the Mutsa of the Month? I don't really know, but one thing I do know, extend your palm of your hand and point it at the offender and say these words, nah, or fisaido, which means blow on this. And that's sometimes my favorite. When you do the fisaido, but you have to do it like quietly, like fisaido.
You got Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone.
Wisconsin's coming up.
Yeah.
I'm pulling for Bernie.
Bernie, don't forget, Wisconsin has a long history of socialist mayors, particularly in Milwaukee, almost 30 years of them. I don't know if I've told you the story. It's quick. I was talking to a group of interns at the Center for Islamic, yeah, pretty much, same things, right. Islamic and American relations. But they asked me to come and talk. So I did. Afterwards, I said, you know, after the Q&A, I said, listen, you guys have asked me all the questions. I want to ask you a question. First of all, how many of you are Republicans? This is about 30 interns, 25 and younger. Not one hand goes up.
Then I said, pretty girls?
None of them. Okay. None of them. So I said, Democrats always raise their hand. How many of you are for Hillary? One woman put her hand up, one girl. And
you could see her in her 60s. Quite severe and lecturing other young women about the reason of, the nature of feminism, right?
The nature of feminism and cultural appropriation. Yeah. Right. But, and then I said, well, how many for Bernie? And 29 of the others just enthusiastically raised their hand. At that moment, I thought, she has serious, serious troubles.
Somebody said this a few weeks ago that she's the establishment candidate and can't win. I forgot who that guy was. But I think she does have a serious problem. No?
Absolutely.
And what about the FBI problem, Jeff?
There's something about 240-some FBI agents.
147.
147.
John, I have to correct you. I got this, and I'm dead serious. Phone calls, tweets, and emails when I did my FBI chasing Hillary.
Right.
And they were adamant. They were furious. Apparently, it was a speaking point on MSNBC that day, which was this. I'm not kidding.
A dog with Hillary?
No, a dog labeled FBI. She said, the FBI is not investigating Hillary. They're investigating her emails.
I hear that from editors too. You know, because there was some skin back. The New York Times started it. There was some aspect that they wrote about that she's under investigation. Then they skinned it back a little bit, and that caused all the other copy editors to have fits. Here's the thing. If she's elected president, which she won't be,
I'm not,
imagine no. 4 years of parsing this attitude of, I didn't intend. There was no intent on my part to put state secrets in jeopardy. I did not intend to put all the FBI files of my enemies in my bedroom. I did not intend to to fire the White House travel office and give the business to my friends from Hollywood. I didn't, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What's the definition of is again and again and again? I just see that, and I see these kids who believe in something. I disagree with them. I think the Big Rock Candy Mountain is a fiction, but they believe in something. And to see them going up against the machine, the 600 superdelegates, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Obama's nonsense, they're going to get burned. And when they get burned, the libertarians are waiting. Welcome, children.
Well, did you see the latest poll? There's a poll that just came out. Gary Johnson, who is frankly the candidate I like. He's former two-term governor of New Mexico. He's the libertarian candidate for president. Mm-hmm. He polled at 11%. First time in history that this far out, mm-hmm. a third-party candidate has polled at that high number.
Wow.
What does that mean?
I think what you're predicting is already happening.
Both parties are losing control of the people.
Well, yeah,
you know what's amazing?
Control of the people. That's because we want our parties to have control.
Well, they
people.
Do. They
well,
did.
But they shouldn't.
But they did. They have both of them. Let me ask you this. On the left, you know, on the right, we can say the Republicans. They're imploding because the base does not believe their leaders, right? On the left, on the Democratic side, they're imploding because what? Can't they say it? That Obama has been a failure?
I don't think that's it, John. I think it's...
Oh, you can't say that.
I think
no, I'm racist if I say that.
I'm not a racist.
Oh, no. People say. If you criticize Obama...
I'm not saying it. My point is that we talked about this, and Tom Serafin, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. made a good point. You see millennials now are the majority group of people in this country who... Mm-hmm. Just that's how it is. They...
Not yet. Boomers are still.
No. They've been out... Check the numbers. They've been out... Millennials are the largest group. They've outgrew boomers about 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
And... It,
I guess I should read a newspaper once in a while.
It is indicative of what we're seeing. We're seeing this new culture that doesn't care. Like you said, they don't care about establishment. They want this pie-in-the-sky thing. And I think that's what we're seeing in both parties. Well, not really both parties, but in the Democrat Party for sure, that they are disenfranchised and they don't care. They don't believe Hillary. They don't believe Obama.
Yes, I agree. But it's interesting how we discuss it. Mm-hmm. We discuss the Republican problems properly. I think, at least we do in this room, the three of us. And if you're listening, maybe one or two of you, that it's about the base feels betrayed by their establishment figures. On the Democratic side, if you have all these kids, all these young people going against Hillary, who's running for a third Obama term, what does that say about Obama's ability? What does that say about Obama's legacy? It tells me that the same thing's happening there. They don't want to say it because they've been trained by the professors on point of death not to say anything remotely negative about the president. But what is happening? They're revolting against the establishment. And their
it's been 8 years, and that's left and right. The left, you know, elected this guy assuming that this was all going to be, you know, social Democrat nirvana, and free stuff was going to flow like Obama phones,
which did.
They did, but there wasn't. But at the end of the day, pay is still the same it was 10 years ago. There are no new jobs of any substance. You know, the promise hasn't been fulfilled, and they're angry.
I think
I think the Tea Party people are feeling the same way.
I think you're right, and I think he'll. I don't think Hillary is the next line of progression in the Obama social.
No,
Bernie is a more extreme version.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Liz Warren, but I think if you look at Hillary, mm-hmm. who's more like Obama was when he ran the first time, mm-hmm. the hope and change. Bernie is way more like Hillary is because Hillary just says whatever she wants.
She's the candidate of Wall Street.
Yeah.
The neoconservatives who supported the wars in Iraq in mm-hmm. the Middle East and basically hijacked foreign policy in the Republican Party are now going to her.
Mm-hmm.
When will journalism acknowledge these two facts? When will it be acknowledged that you can't just say, hey, I'm a woman, and therefore men don't get it, and therefore vote for me, and talk like that kind of stupid nonsense?
Well, they had the feminists. You had, who was it, former Secretary of State saying there's a special place in hell if you don't support a woman. You had Gloria Steinem who came in and said that, you know, the women were only attracted to Bernie Sanders because of the cute boys.
And Barbara Streisand, though. Mm-hmm. Babs, what's her thing?
So they're coming out. The Kinkle Caucus is coming out.
And I don't use that term, but I'll tell you this. I do not use that term, but I'll tell you this.
Why not?
I was on another radio station in the morning this week, and Dan Proft sang Barbara Streisand to me on the air. And I didn't realize what he was doing. He was kind of like doing like a talk singing mm-hmm. thing. And I now need therapy.
I'm there behind you, just hearing you hear that.
Does he not have a lovely singing voice?
Yeah.
Does he not sound like Babs?
It reminded me, yeah. You don't bring me flowers, you don't bring me, sing me love songs. You hardly talk to me anymore.
Send in the clouds.
People who meet people. All right, they are the luckiest people.
So what do I write about Hillary? I got to write a column about this.
Well, the fact that the mainstream media still makes excuses for her lies. I mean, and they do. I it's making me a little crazy. They're still running interference for her. The Benghazi thing. Oh, come on. That's nothing.
Well, you mentioned Benghazi in a newsroom.
Oh, yeah.
What happens?
Oh, there's a flutter of eye rolling.
Yes. Oh, my God, Cass Stannis. Oh, God.
Yeah, you get a...
from the people who tolerate different beliefs. Yeah, they do.
And for those who don't subscribe to that, the defense of Hillary thing, there's another proportion of people in newsrooms who just assume she's going to get off on this because the Clintons are bulletproof.
Because they always have, right.
Right, exactly. And it's just like, well, we've seen this before. Something crazy comes up. Someone, some conspiracy theory.
I am encouraged by Susan Sarandon.
Yeah.
Who's now talking in a way like if she doesn't get Bernie, she might go Trump. It's a weird thing. What is going on with that?
I don't know.
When she says, no matter what she says, two thoughts come to mind. One, I feel like throwing toast at the screen. Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah. And a friend reminded me, another reminded me, in Atlantic City, I think, she rubbed lemons all over herself at the sink in one of the most sensual... Okay, I better stop. We're talking politics.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah,
I don't get the lemons, though. Maybe because she worked in a fish house at lemon... You used to work...
I
you did. Were a fishmonger.
I was.
Do lemons work?
Like, they do.
They get the smell off?
Absolutely. Neutralize that smell on your hands.
Where did you work?
I worked at Isaacson and Stein over Fulton and Halstead in high school.
Yeah, what's the smart thing to do when you buy fish? Did you work at a...
No. Janine, my wife, her is from San Pedro, which was, at the time, the fish canneries were huge. So if the wind was going just in the right direction...
And her Steinbeck.
And her grand... No, that was up in the cannery row up north, but this was in San Pedro, which is the harbor area of Los Angeles. And her grandmother worked in the canneries. And getting in her car was... Yeah.
All right, so what... right now we're into the gout season now.
How did
you know this,
here?
Right?
I did not know that.
Yeah, we're into the gout season. We'll have the gout expert to talk about all the fish and greens that people are eating right now.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous gout. Painful. But what if you're in, I just have to ask this, what should you keep in mind? If you're going to buy fresh fish, where do you go? Do you go to like a big fish house like that or Boston Fish Market on Des Plaines? Is that what you do?
Yeah. You have to, because they get stuff that's gets unloaded on a truck, the afternoon before, and it's driven straight from the ocean straight to the facility. I mean, that's where I worked. There were trucks would come in at 4 a.m. and we had loaded up the day before and dead headed right through, and we would unload them, and that would be on display that morning at 9 a.m.
So go to a major fish place. Have you seen this Boston Boston? What is it called? Boston
Fish Market. Yeah.
Fish Market in Des Plaines.
No, you keep telling me about it. I haven't gotten out there.
It's awesome.
I know. I want to go.
It's awesome. I got to start cooking some fish now because I'm going on a diet.
Oh yeah, what are you going to do?
I have to lose 150 pounds. Falstaff, nothing. I will sell no more wine before it's time. Yeah. Anyway, all right. So yeah, when we start talking fish and diets, I know it's time to go. Scott Stannis, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Jeff Carlin, Mr. Wiz.
Always a pleasure.
And John Cass, this is not The Wire, yo. It's The Chicago Way.